Episodes in accordance for the wheelchair audience. You don't want to miss any audio clips, cause we're providing information, tips and some tricks for every state and every nation. Someone can benefit, like, what's the best fabric? Should I get the tiger's yellow carbon fiber palette?
Welcome to Wheelchair Nerds, a podcast to connect and inform people who utilize, prescribe, and provide seating and wheel mobility equipment. I'm your host, Angie Kiger. Before we jump into today's topic, a brief reminder that the information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not intended to be medical, billing, or legal advice. Now, let's get to it. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Wheelchair Nerds Season 2, Episode something. I'm not sure. Check out our graphic. You'll find out. Continuing on with our season two, and we've definitely had this really cool vibe where we've been able to speak with clinicians in our industry and also folks who utilize our equipment. It's been a big focus of ours and continues to be at Wheelchair Nerds because we're really trying to connect all the parts and pieces, and I'm really excited about today's interview that we have. You guys may or may not be familiar with a small little group out in LA, a little dance group called the Rolettes. I feel like if you've ever been to Abilities Expo or you've been on social media, you have seen these women who are truly changing the face, I would say, in terms of dance and performance. And I don't say that lightly. I have had the opportunity to know the founding member of the Rolettes, and she's a fantastic young woman. And she actually introduced me to our guest today. So I'm super excited to introduce you guys to Josie. And we're not just going to talk about the Rolettes. So don't turn this off if you're thinking, oh, I'm not into dance. We're actually going to talk about a lot of things related to the arts and dance and opportunities when it comes to individuals with disabilities. So my therapist out there, this is great opportunities if you are a rec therapist or an occupational therapist, and maybe you've got somebody on your caseload who was recently injured and you're looking for goals and ideas of stuff to do of how to get them back out in their community and really following their passions, because Josie really has blazed a trail when it comes to that with her own life. So Josie, let's first ask for your, if someone was to meet you in an elevator, what your like 2 minute like introduction would be. So who are you? What do you do?
Elevator introduction. That's so funny. I would say, hi, I'm Josie. I'm an actress, singer, dancer, and recently became a writer.
Nice.
Based in LA. I am also a content creator, and my goals are to improve disability representation in the entertainment industry.
Love it. Love it. Which I think is so cool, because in recent years, but before we started recording this podcast, we were talking through things that a lot of our listeners know. I'm old. Not old. Maybe we should delete that out, Kayla. That's our producer. So I'll let her choose on whether or not she deletes that out or not. But I'm a Gen Xer. And so I grew up in the 80s and 90s. And I have a cousin with CP, and I often talk about Susan on the podcast, because when I think about representation in marketing opportunities on television, in movies, all sorts of stuff, when I go back now and I look at some of like the movies, it's literally cringeworthy. And to take a term from like today, it's like, oh my word. Even when I look at my experience within working in the wheelchair industry itself and really seeing what has happened earlier in time. I'm in my mid-40s now, but it's been super cool for me as someone who considers myself an advocate for people with disabilities to really see that influx of like, oh, good, I'm not looking at the movies and kind of judging and realizing that, wait a minute, that person really doesn't have a disability. And it's been a really cool trend to see. So before we jump too far into that, Josie, I think it's important to talk about your childhood, because all of this entertainment industry, this probably doesn't come as brand new information to your family. This is probably something you had hopes and dreams of as a kid. So talk to us about young Josie. Like, where did you grow up? What did you enjoy doing? All that kind of good stuff.
I grew up in Akron, Ohio, home of LeBron. His house is like 10 minutes from where I grew up. And right from the get-go, my parents knew that I was going to be into performing. I would walk around my house holding a basket, singing the opening number to Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
And I would make my parents do scenes with me, like from Disney movies. And of course, I always got to be like the main character, the princess. So they kind of knew, even from when I was little. I didn't officially get into theater until I was in high school. I kind of did some camps and stuff, but it never really worked out to commit to the whole show process until I was in high school. And I joined show choir as well. So the combination of those two things are really what shaped me as a performer today. I always loved singing. I always loved dancing. And when I got to do a production of Beauty and the Beast, that was actually my first musical in high school. That was when I got bit by the bug and I was like, okay, there's no going back.
Nice. This is when you're like, this is what I'm going to do the rest of my life. Love it. So when you graduated high school, what did that look like? Did you major in the arts when you moved on to college? And where did you end up going to school?
I went to The Ohio State University and I double majored actually in psychology and theater. Oh, my cool. My parents are very loving and supportive, but they were like, can you please get a degree in something more stable? So in case it doesn't work out, you have a backup plan. And I was like, that's fair. So I double majored, and through college, I continued with a student-run theater organization. So I did shows through that, and I did one show with the Department of Theater, Legally Blonde, actually. I kept up with it. I couldn't stay away for too long.
I love it. And as someone who is an avid sports fan of college, I'm a University of Virginia person myself, but every time, it's interesting how different universities have, you know, nuances and whatnot. Like, University of Virginia, they don't call it the campus, they call it being on grounds. And I caught very carefully how you said you went to the Ohio State University. I always laugh. Like all of my friends that went to Ohio State, they start with that. So it must be something that's ingrained to you and very nuanced to that university. So love it. You are a true Buckeye, as they say. Okay, so talk to me a little bit, because I read a bit of your bio, but when I do podcast interviews, I love for people just to kind of tell their own story, because it's really what podcasting is about. So storytelling. So I'm guessing, because I've been introduced to you, you mentioned that when you would dance around your house, when you'd walk around your house, I'm assuming that something may have changed in your life around your young adulthood. So what happened in terms of now you're a disability advocate?
Yes. So I don't like saying this because it sounds bad, but I never really paid attention to disability representation before my injury. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, like most people don't have a reason to, so I kind of give myself a break there, but I never noticed anything and I never really thought about what it would be like to be disabled. Mm-hmm. So my family was in a small plane crash in 2019. I was 20. Mm-hmm. And I am the only permanent injury. My father also had an injury from that accident, but he has since recovered. But when I went to stand up after we landed, I couldn't. And I immediately knew something was wrong. Mm-hmm. And so I was taken to the hospital. I went through a 7-hour lumbar fusion surgery to fix the fracture in my spine. But the doctors knew immediately it didn't look good. And so I went through the whole rehab thing, 6 weeks at Kessler. I remember laying in the hospital bed watching Friends, and I thought to myself, I don't think I've ever seen a real wheelchair user in like TV shows that I've watched. Mm-hmm. Because everything else I had seen was an able-bodied actor playing a disabled character. Mm-hmm. And so that was a shock and very disheartening to me. Ally Stroker had just won the Tony, though, so I had a little spark of hope because I had seen her win the Tony that past year, and I remember thinking, oh, that's so cool. Like, how awesome. And so there was a little spark of hope there. When I got home from rehab, I did not have any plans to go back to theater. I honestly thought it would be years before I went back. And my community theater director and choreographer reached out to me and they said, hey, we want you to be in our holiday show. We need to write out the ensemble. We want you to be in it. And I was very hesitant at first because I was still so new. I was still in a lot of pain. I couldn't sit up for very long. And I talked to my parents about it. And my mom was like, you need to do something that isn't therapy. You need to do something that you can do just for fun, something that you love. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. So I went back to them and I said, I don't know what this is going to look like. And they were like, we're going to make sure you look good. And we're going to work with you. So I worked with the choreographer, like outside of rehearsal, to adapt choreography. And we came up with some cool tricks to incorporate me with the other dancers. And I ended up doing the show. It was a 3-week run, 3-month rehearsal process. And I remember I didn't feel a ton of pain while I was doing it because I was just so happy to be back on stage. And that was when I really learned that it was not about what my legs could do. It was about the performance as a whole, specifically what's going on in your face. And so that experience, I'm so thankful for. And that was what inspired me to keep going and fight the fight for disability representation.
Nice. Yeah. So the rec therapist in me, I don't know if I told disclose that to you before, as my undergraduate degree is in recreation therapy. And the whole premise behind recreation therapy is getting people to be able to do activity participation as they did prior to injury. And it just like lights up my soul from like, I think back to myself when I was in, you know, becoming a rec therapist, because that's really, it's amazing. You know, we talk about this for physical abilities, but you don't, I mean, your mental health, your emotional health, just your vocational health too, because you're starting to think about like, what can I do? What can I do next? And it's such a unique time. And, you know, it's been decades, but, you know, to think back, like when you're in your late teens, early 20s, that's a tough transitional time, whether you have a physical disability, a disability that somebody can see, maybe you have an unseen disability, or you don't have any disabilities at all. It's the reality of like, how am I going to become an adult? What is going to happen? And a lot of my friends who have sustained injuries have sustained them, interestingly enough, during that time period. And so, you know, folks come back and it's really pivotal for their life to be like, now what? And the interesting thing is, as I've learned with talking to my friends over the years, is a lot of them had that moment of, oh, my life's completely over, to they're either on the same career trajectory that they wanted to be on prior to injury, or something pretty adjacent, which is so fascinating to me. It's because it's like, yeah, you know what? Like, just because I was injured, doesn't mean I can't pursue this. So when you talk about like 2019, I think back, you know, what I was doing in 2019. And I remember right before that, as you mentioned, that Allie did win that big award. That was huge, huge for the community of people who were either advocates for people with disabilities or who utilize equipment themselves. And that was about the time that I started to see on TV, and I'd have to go back and check the run of this, but being a wheelchair nerd for way too many years, working in a wheelchair clinic, I really did stay in touch with the community. And I remember there was, I think it was on NBC, a TV show called Speechless that came out. And there was a young man, it featured a young man who had cerebral palsy and utilized a communication device and a power wheelchair. And it made such a buzz. I was bummed because I think it only ran like 2 or 3 seasons, which I don't necessarily blame that on, you know, because it had a cast member that had a disability. And in all honesty, we know TV shows come and go pretty quickly. It's hard to strike that Friends magic or that Seinfeld magic. But with that said, it was really cool because it was clear the young man who played the starring role in that, who was quote unquote speechless, he did actually have CP. He used a manual wheelchair in real life. I will admit, I did nitpick a little bit because I'm like, he also talks in real life. Why does he use a communication device? But I was like, hey, hang on. Like, I'm still pretty excited that they're even showing this, like a power wheelchair on TV. Because even though I have a cousin that has cerebral palsy, she's been ambulatory her entire life. I think about like her friends that utilize wheelchairs. That was really how I was exposed to it. I volunteer at her camps and all sorts of stuff. Even to this day, my mother still doesn't have her brain completely wrapped around wheelchairs. Even though Susan grew up in the same town as us, she went to Special Olympics events, did all this stuff, just doesn't have her mind wrapped around it. So it just shows how the representation just really wasn't there until maybe 5, 6, 7, maybe 10 years ago, it really started to pop up more. And, you know, you talk about, you know, what it looks like to see someone, and I cannot relate to this, but, you know, what it would look like to see someone who is portraying somebody who is supposed to have a disability, but not really. I mean, yes, actors and actresses are very, very talented in their craft, but it's like, there's certain things you just can't pick up on. And I've always, you know, I'd always wondered, I'm like, well, if there is somebody that utilizes a wheelchair, that's a qualified actress or actor, why wouldn't they get the role over somebody else? At my previous job, I was actually, it's common for us to be approached in manufacturers, be approached about, hey, can we, you know, use some equipment in our movie coming up? And I remember at the other company that I worked at, had the opportunity to work with a very well-known actor, was super excited about it, but I knew full well he was ambulatory. And it was that, and I was on the set for the movie. Won't disclose it here, but I was on the set for the movie. And I remember feeling a tad bit awkward. I also remember I was giving no chance for us not to fit this actor for the wheelchair. Cause I remember saying I had no problem saying to the production, the director, that it is essential that if this actor is going to use the wheelchair, and due to the aging process, they actually wrote the wheelchair in because he actually did need some sort of mobility device. So it was written in a little bit. So it wasn't a complete miscast, if you will, but it was a big deal for us to fit the chair to the talent. Like, they kept telling us no, kept telling us no. And I'm like, if he cannot sit properly and access the joystick, number one, people are going to call him out and say that that's not legit. And number two, he's not going to be comfortable all day using this wheelchair. Like, we have to be more realistic. So anyway, that's a long way for me to get around to the fact to say that things are changing and you are starting to see a shift in that. So fast forward to you did that one production. Did you go back to Ohio State or did you decide to finish your career somewhere else or college career somewhere else? Or what happened next?
I did go back to OSU the next semester. So I took one semester off. But then unfortunately, March 2020 comes around.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So I went back to school for 2 months and I was sent right back home. Unfortunately, yeah. that was not a good time in my life. But I don't know. I did go back to school. And when we finally got to go back, like for real, I ended up in another community theater production of Sense and Sensibility. And that was actually the last theater production I did. The most recent one was like 5 years ago. So crazy.
Well, clearly, since you said you're based in LA during your introduction, you no longer live in the Midwest. What took you out to LA? When did you finally say, you know what, I'm going to go out there and see what I can find?
Yeah, it's actually during pandemic, during the quarantine time, Chelsea Hill from the Roulettes started doing Instagram live dance classes. I remember trying one like in my room because I didn't want my family to see. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I can like do moving like this. And I started picking up different nuances of dancing with my wheelchair. Because when I did the production, like I kind of had watched some videos of the Roulettes, but I had never heard them explain things before. So I started doing those classes, the Zoom classes, and then I started doing private lessons with Chelsea on Zoom. And I remember the first one we did, she was like, do you have plans to move to LA? And I was like, maybe. It was never in my brain. I never really thought I would end up on the West Coast. I kind of always thought I would end up in New York. Mm-hmm. But I was asked to be a little sis on the Roulettes in 2021. I went out to visit, fell in love with LA, and having the support of the Roulettes and the team really encouraged me to just put aside all my fears and just go for it and just do the LA actor thing. So I moved in September 21 and I went all in.
I love it. To talk to me a little bit about the Roulettes. I have known Chelsea just because of the circles that we run in when you're working on the industry side of things and as being a therapist. She and I've met at a couple of abilities expos years ago. We've reconnected last year at some point and super excited that I'm actually going to get to meet Josie face to face at the Roulettes experience. So I'll tease that a little bit. I will actually be out there working also. But, you know, just a question like, and this has put you on the spot a little bit, but I'm guessing as a little sis, you probably had to learn it now, a full member. What's the history of the Roulettes? Like, how did that even that come about?
Chelsea Hill was injured in 2010. She grew up a competitive dancer. And similarly to me, she didn't really see wheelchair dance. She saw Auntie Angel doing hip hop dance, I think that's the story. Her dad showed her a video of Auntie dancing and Chelsea was like, oh, like, I like that. I don't know if I would do that way. And that was what inspired her to start doing wheelchair dancing. And so she started the Roulettes in 2012 by inviting, I think, 6 or 7 girls to come to Monterey where she grew up and just have a dance camp. That was kind of the first Roulettes experience. And
that's cool.
Now, 12 years later, it has grown into, we have 250 women from multiple countries come in and we have dance classes, seminars, a makeup class, panels. We have parties at night and then like a pool party to wrap up the weekend. But it's now 4 days. And we even started within the last couple of years, we have a Boundless Talent Showcase, which is a talent showcase for people with disabilities to showcase any talent they have. So not just dance, but also singing, spoken word. We have a baton twirler that comes every year. It could be anything as long as it's like Dave. And so it's really cool to, obviously I wasn't around for it, but it's cool to hear about how much it's grown even in just the past few years. Now we have 10 girls on the team. We performed all over the world. My favorite performance that I've been a part of was at a Boston Celtics halftime show. That was a really cool experience. And it's cool to see how a group of women is changing the game in the dance world.
Mm-hmm. Now that I think that's been the most interesting. I've known of the Rolettes, I said, for quite some time, but really getting a chance to talk with Chelsea Moore recently about the Rolettes experience, because in all honesty, I was like, oh, it's like a dance camp. But she's like, oh, it's so much more than a dance camp. Like, don't get it twisted. Like, it's not just about putting on a performance at the end and, you know, learning different skills. It's really to, from my understanding, it's really to bring women with disabilities, utilize wheelchairs, just together as a camaraderie, mentorship, and education well beyond dance. You know, do you want to be a performer, or even just learning how to do life? You know, just kind of being out there making friends, that sort of stuff, which I think is, once again, the rec therapist in me loves that. Like, you know, loves the community, loves the opportunity for folks to get together and to do more. And I'm super excited. We haven't nailed down what panel I'm going to be on or kind of what we're doing, but I've got a few different ideas. And I love how open Chelsea and Joe have been to this, because for me, my whole vision is to really, even with this podcast, is to just better educate people. Because I feel like, I mean, I can't imagine if I was to come up, if, you know, I know people that work at Kessler, so I probably know who some of your therapists were. But when they first came in and were talking to you about wheelchairs, if I was to ask the Josie back then about, like, you know, what do you want in a wheelchair? You'd be like, what are you talking about? I have no clue. Like, I'm going to walk again, right? Right? You know, like, we're not going to have this discussion. And I think there's so much that happens in that process for folks, that realizing the empowerment that someone has as being the person who uses the wheelchair, decisions that need to make. I mean, as a dancer, there are probably different things that you want set up on your wheelchair in terms of center of gravity, in terms of your stability with the seating support, the back, the cushion, all that stuff, than if you were just going to be Josie, the college student, or Josie working an office job. They're just these little things that you've learned over time, which I don't know. I just think I love the way the Rolettes do that. I hadn't really paid attention, to be quite honest with you, about all the cool things well beyond dance, because I've never been a dancer myself. I did not make my show choir in high school. Not bitter about it still, all those years later. I sang in church, choir, church, but not show choir in high school. So I was a band nerd. So anyway, you know, with that said, if someone, I mean, are there still, I know it's April, are still slots available if somebody wanted to go out to go to the Rolettes experience? Do you have any idea?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. So we're still accepting people until, I think, end of June.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Very nice. The end of June, we have scholarships available for people who are not able to afford tuition. And it's all held in the same hotel near the airport, so you don't need to rent a car. We try to make it as easy as possible for people to come, because really we just want as many women and people to come experience the community. You know, it's funny that you were talking earlier about, you know, recreational therapy in terms of physical abilities, because a couple of years ago, I had a mother come up to me and she was near tears just talking about how her daughter was moving in ways that she hadn't seen in the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. And it's incredible to see stories like that and to see people coming out of their shell. You know, maybe they're shy and have trouble talking to people, but they find their group at the end of mm-hmm. the weekend. For me, especially, the kids are mm-hmm. the most special, you know, because most of those kids are the only person in a wheelchair in the groups that they're normally in. So mm-hmm. for them to get to spend time together is very moving and very incredible. So yes, July 11th to 14th are the dates this year, and we are still welcoming anyone who wants to come.
Nice. One more Rolettes related question, and then I want to get back to stuff related to you. But I know Rolettes is a passion of yours, so you're usually happy to chat mm-hmm. about that with me.
Yes.
So say someone is like, oh man, we can't, you know, we got our family vacation planned, we can't make it then. How, if someone wants to be involved or connect with you guys, what's the best way to follow what you guys are doing, maybe see some of the Rolettes members at different events? Like, what's the best way for people to get kind of tied into your community?
Yeah, we're very active on social media. So our Instagram and TikTok account is @Rolette_LA. We're also on YouTube, Rolettes Los Angeles. And if you're local in LA, we sometimes do in-person events. If you follow our Instagram, we usually post about them there. We also have a virtual mentorship program for women with disabilities called the Balanced Babe Society. And I believe as of right now, we have that as rolling admission, so you can join whenever. But mm-hmm. that really is a mentorship program for women with disabilities who want to achieve their goals. And they cover incredibly important topics, just for like you said earlier, becoming an adult and becoming mm-hmm. a self-sufficient person. You know, it's topics that anyone could benefit from, but it's specifically curated for women and people with disabilities.
That's super powerful. I feel like there's just so many. I mean, I love it. Just, I, you know, marvel at how far Chelsea's taken it. And then she seems to have very good discernment about people that she brings up alongside her. You know, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, you started as a little sis and moving up to kind of a full role. I believe you mentioned that you guys are going to some of the Abilities Expos. Like, so you'll be hitting the road mm-hmm. out there.
Yeah, you know. we're going to be in New York.
End of next week. Yeah, it's like the beginning of May.
That is coming up. And then we'll also be in Chicago. Hopefully we'll be at some more in the fall.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, I'll be in Chicago. So stop by our booth, come over, say hey for sure.
Of course.
I love the roulettes, but let me get back to Josie. You know, okay, so once you got to LA, obviously you had the awesome connection with Chelsea, and I'm sure that kind of blossomed into friends from her, but Josie, how are you going to pay your bills? How did you pay your rent? It was like one of those things where, how did you start booking jobs? How did that all work?
Well, I will start off by saying I'm very lucky. My husband has an incredible job. It's really nice to have him supporting us in that way. But also, I could get into the logistics of it, but acting class is definitely an investment. But I knew that I wanted to get better. So in terms of jobs, you know, I have the jobs that I book with the Rolettes. That has helped a lot for me personally. And then also, I got connected with a commercial agent through Rolettes. So I did a few like modeling, print, commercial jobs. I actually booked a Best Buy commercial at the beginning of last year that ran before the Super Bowl. So that did pretty well. But obviously, like commercial jobs pay the bills, but they're not like what most of us are passionate about. So it's really interesting. I got connected with the Disability Film Challenge. I found out about it in 2022, but the week that it was happening, it didn't work out for me to do it. But then last year, 2023, I was like, I really want to do this. I was talking to Joe, my manager, and I was like, I want to do this year. The theme was romance. And I was like, super excited about that. Basically, for those of you who don't know what the Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge is, it's a 5-day film challenge where you make a 5-minute short film in the 5 days, start to finish. And the main requirement is you have to have someone with a disability in front of or behind the camera in a major role. Obviously, they encourage you to collaborate with more than one person, but that's like the main requirement. In 2023, I got connected with Corey Reeder, who's a director, writer, producer, and we made this little film called Smasher Pass.
I watched that. That was actually really cool.
Did you?
Yeah. You can still find it on YouTube, listeners. You can definitely still find it.
Yes, it is still available. So it's about a woman with a disability doing the dating app thing, you know, and it presents some of the challenges that women with disabilities face while dating. Mm-hmm. And that was really fun to be a part of. It was my first like experience acting on set, but I had so much fun.
As someone who's never like filmed a film or anything, what realistically, when you say it's about a 5-minute short film, how long does that actually take to, not even the writing process, but like the actual like production time, like on set? How long does that realistically take to get 5 minutes of a movie if you had to ballpark it?
Well, Smasher Pass was abnormal because we filmed the entire thing in one day.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it wasn't even a long day, honestly. Like, we started, I think, at like 7 in the morning and finished by 5. But Corey has done the challenge for so long. He's been in it so many times that I think he kind of had his system, mm-hmm. right? So this film that I just made, which we'll get into later, we shot for 2 days.
Okay.
And then spent the last 2 days on editing.
Wow. Okay. Now go back, because I do know with the 2023 film that you did win some awards, which was super cool.
Mm-hmm. So I honestly wasn't expecting to be nominated for anything. I knew the film would probably get nominated because Corey is very talented and usually gets nominated, but I didn't expect to be nominated for Best Actor. So that was really validating for me and exciting. And I didn't end up winning, but the film won Best Editor and Corey submitted it to a bunch of other festivals. I think I won an award at one of them. But most notably, we ended up going to the Slamdance Film Festival because they now have an Unstoppable Block for filmmakers with disabilities. for short films and feature films. We went to Slam Dance this past January and did the whole Sundance Festival thing. And it was really cool to be a part of and just be in that space with everybody.
That's pretty sweet. I've been on one official movie set. I'm trying to think if I'm in my work career, I may have done some TV shows and commercials. I can't remember, but those, I mean, that stuff is intense. Because they were all night shoots that we did. My coworker and I were like, we're sitting up super late, like waiting, because we had to be there to help with the chair because it was a power chair. So if anything happened on set, like liability wise, they wanted us there. And so I will say, I have some funny stories that I'll tell you off recording, but the famous actor, I won't give his name right now, I may or may not have stopped just short of maybe 6 inches from running over his toe in a power wheelchair. And he laughed. No. So I will tease that. So after we stop recording, I'll tell you who it was, because it's a very, very famous actor. I was like, super embarrassing. But anyway, that was kind of funny. For someone who's not at all associated with the arts, and I have one friend, I think, who went out to LA to try to make it from high school, my friend Carrie, and she still lives in LA. Her partner and her both were starving actors and an actress, and they really wanted to do something. But Carrie ended up having to fall back on her career of, and so she's a recruiter. She fell back on the degrees. Her mother was very excited that she got that degree. But then I want to say her partner, I've seen him in a few commercials, but not a lot. But that exactly what you were saying. Now, Carrie and her partner do not have any disabilities, but it's the same thing that you were saying. It's like she was constantly taking acting classes when she first moved out there. She was working. She's like, I'm a cliche. She's like, I'm working at a bar. Like, I'm working out, like, I'm trying to make it. Because before she and her now partner got together, you know, she's like, gosh, like, it's a grind. And I mean, it's a grind for people with or without disabilities. So it's really interesting to hear you say, yeah, I got to take acting classes, and commercials pay the bills, because that's exactly what Carrie would tell me. She's like, yep. It's like commercials will pay the bills for us. But and the other thing that I've noticed in recent years is, you know, it's really funny. This is when my friends who aren't industry, I feel like it's cool to see them notice. But like, I'll get text messages from friends and they'll say, have you been to Target? Okay, I went to Target. Did you see in the men's section, there's a gentleman that's in a manual wheelchair that's modeling? I'm like, did I even see that? Like, cause sometimes like I don't even know, because I think because like I'm so... it's so part of my everyday, I don't necessarily see it, but it's really cool for me to have friends that aren't in the circles that I run in, that aren't exposed, quite honestly, to people with disabilities on a regular basis. They might not have any personal friends or family, to start to recognize that and just become like part of the norm, to see the different advertisements. I mean, I get so excited. I play such a wheelchair nerd games with my other wheelchair nerd friends. Like, ooh, what chair are they in? Like, we zoom in, like, look at the casters. Ooh, what's the setup look like? What's that look like? Just because we're just dorks like that. And it's just so cool to see the difference in representation for all abilities. It's not just physical disabilities. I mean, I love seeing my cousin who has cerebral palsy. She also has cognitive disabilities too, and is intellectually impaired. And so it's really neat for me to see other folks just with all sorts of abilities that are being portrayed in actual roles in a real life and appropriate way, without being the butt of a joke. That's the easiest way to say it, right? Like, not being the person that's different. They're just a part of the cast, which is super cool.
Yeah.
What else? Awesome. You know, what's on tap next for you? Like, what are your next projects? I know you just finished, just wrapped up everything related to the Easter Seals 2024 contest. Tell me a little bit about that film. I want to say I saw one of your rolettes that was a part of the production of that too. I think I saw Chelsea's name in the credits for that.
Yes, Chelsea produced. So it was great to have her on board. And we also had another rolette, Danica Whitsitt, who had a small role at the end. So it was fun to have the team's support and collaboration on it. The theme this year was buddy comedy, so I co-wrote and produced and starred in a film called Body Swap. Mm-hmm. It's about two best friends that switch bodies and they have to live life in the other's body. Sort of like Freaky Friday, but when my co-writer and I were brainstorming ideas, we were like, yeah, body swaps have been done before, but nobody's done it with an able-bodied character and a disabled character. And we thought that was so interesting. Like, what would it be like for somebody to all of a sudden land in a disabled body? And conversely, somebody who's disabled to land in an able body, what would that be like? So that was really fun for us to play with that idea. And we wrote in funny little scenes. Like, there's a scene where one character is teaching the other one how to use a catheter.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, fun little things like that where It's like little bits of disability humor, but also it had a very heartwarming message at the end of understanding and putting yourself in other people's shoes.
So what's, we know there's going to be lots of stuff happening with Rolettes this year, which just in general, I'm like, what's next for you? But at the same time, I know you're super, super busy trying to probably get everything all set up for the Rolettes experience and the abilities expos. But I guess what else are you looking forward to in 2024 and beyond as far as career and opportunities and stuff go?
I'm actually part of the Batgirl Disability Project. It's made through a nonprofit called Action Through Action that also aims for disability representation. Mm-hmm. And specifically, the Batgirl Disability Project is about Batgirl when she becomes paralyzed by the Joker. Mm-hmm. She gets shot in the back. And so it's a short film from before and then through when she becomes a wheelchair user and she decides to adopt the new identity Oracle to assist Batman in his like crime fighting and stuff. So it's a cool story. What's interesting about this is I'm also going to be playing Batgirl while she's able-bodied with movie magic stunt doubles.
Yeah.
You know, the whole nine yards and everything. It's really, really exciting to be a part of. I haven't started shooting yet, but I've started some training and things. So it's very exciting to be part of it. Yeah.
Will that be a short film or a full length? Or...
Yeah. Like 20, 25 minutes, probably.
Yeah. Be sure to let us know when you get that out. I'd love to see it and promote it, all that kind of cool stuff. I guess before we wrap up, do you have any words of wisdom to give maybe a parent who's listening that's like, oh gosh, like, and I know in your situation, you were injured when you were a teenager, but maybe someone has a little girl that has spina bifida and they're like, gosh, I just, you know, I see her classmates being able to go to dance and all sorts of other fun activities. What should I do for my daughter? And then on the flip side of it, you know, what if there's somebody listening to this podcast that was recently injured? You know, what advice would you give a mother of someone with a disability? Mm-hmm. And then also someone who was recently injured when it comes to theater, dance, all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah. I would tell mothers that you're your kid's biggest advocate, right? Until they can mm-hmm. advocate for themselves. So look up videos of people with your kid's disability acting or dancing or whatever it is they want to do. Look up videos so you have them to show people. Because I think at the local level is where people are kind of like, oh, we've never done this before. Mm-hmm. But if you have the evidence, then you can show them and say, look, we can do this. We can figure it out together. And I think people will be a lot more receptive to that. Just continuing to advocate and be your kid's biggest fan, biggest supporter. Mm-hmm. And then for someone who's recently injured, I honestly would say the same thing. Just mm-hmm. look up videos of, you know, what you want to do and figure out what you like, what you don't like, what you would do, and find your community, because that's really where you're going to gain the support and the courage you need to pursue your dreams and do what you want to do.
Very cool. Very cool. Last question for you, putting you on the spot a little bit with this one. I always ask people, and well, first I'll kind of tell you where it came from. The term wheelchair nerd came from lots of therapists in the industry and beyond. When you become a therapist, you can specialize in different areas. But once you become a wheelchair nerd, whether it is an occupational therapist, physical therapist, got recreation therapists that focus on it, assistive technology providers, we really just like dork out on like the tiniest little elements of it. But as we were thinking about the name of this podcast, I was talking to a few of my friends that utilize wheelchairs, both power and manual. And they're like, you realize that we become epic nerds too, right? So it's very much of an all-inclusive term. So with that said, totally on the spot, Josie, why are you a wheelchair nerd?
Ah, so funny. I think I'm a wheelchair nerd because I love seeing the power in this community mm-hmm. and, you know, seeing how individual everyone is while also kind of facing the same problems and experiences. And it's really a blessing to be part of this community. I don't think I would change the way that my life has gone.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for being on here. I am stoked to meet you in June in Chicago in person. Mm-hmm. Of course, my colleagues will have a chance to meet you up in New York. And then if you're in the New York metro, technically it happens in New Jersey, everyone who, spoiler alert, it's in Jersey.
Yeah.
But it's a fantastic event. Be sure to go out, meet the Rolettes, learn about all the equipment. I can't promote Abilities Expos even more because people can touch and feel and see all sorts of things. And then I think that is all for this episode. Thanks so much for listening, guys. And until next time. Thank you for listening to Wheelchair Nerds, presented by Permobile. Today's episode was brought to you by...
You deserve a manual wheelchair that's as unique as you are. Permobile's Creative Mobility Division helps you make that happen with simple solutions for your positioning and mobility needs. Fit, function, and fashion, we've got you covered, with over 90 custom options for your tie light. Take customization to the next level and don't be afraid to think outside of the order form. Just one more way that Permobile innovates for individuals.
Thanks for checking out this episode. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single one. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is @wheelchairnerds. And tell your friends about our podcast too. Oh, and we really appreciate it if you'd give us a 5-star rating and leave a comment sharing what your favorite thing about Wheelchair Nerds is. Last but not least, if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss or know a great guest, hey, it could even be you. You could be that next great guest. Send us an email. Tell us why. You can reach us at wheelchairnerds@permobile.com or DM us on one of our social platforms. We love hearing from you. With the wheelchair.